Hello, and welcome to the Good Shepherd and the Child podcast, where we explore the spirituality of Christian children through the method of catechesis of the Good Shepherd. I am your host, Carrie Mecchi-Lozano, and I am so excited to share this episode with you today because I interview my dear friend, Gabriela Perez, who is very special to me and has a lot of wisdom to share around the concept of normalization. I hope you enjoy. Hello. We are here with the beautiful Gabriela Perez.
Hello.
Hello. Gabriela, would you please tell us a little bit about who you are?
I am a Montessori teacher who lives in the mountains of Tigard, Georgia, who has a heart for education and a heart for catechesis, heart for God.
And you run a beautiful Montessori school up here in the mountains.
Yeah, I moved here to the mountains 12 years ago to start a little school. A primary Montessori school with the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd in it as part of the curriculum.
It's a beautiful little school.
It is a beautiful little school.
So you were trained in Atlanta in your Montessori training?
I was trained with the Association Montessori International when the training opened in Atlanta. Like 15 years ago, something like that.
That's awesome. That's a long time to be a Montessori teacher.
It is.
And when were you trained in Catechesis of the Good Shepherd?
When I took the training with AMI, they kept talking about the spiritual child. And I started working in my classroom as my first year teaching, and I could not see how my work in that environment was helping the spiritual child. Mm-hmm. In the sense that my spirituality goes hand in hand with my Catholic upbringing and my Catholic faith. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I knew about the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. I was working at, I was teaching catechesis in an atrium, and I realized I need to get trained. Mm-hmm. I need to put them together. So the following year, I took the training of the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd and the desire to open a Catholic Montessori school was strong in my heart.
That's awesome. I always find it so fascinating for you to have gone through the catechesis training after going through Montessori training and how different that probably was for your experience rather than my experience, not knowing much about Montessori before going into catechesis. Mm-hmm. How different that must be.
The difference were this. I already had all the Montessori philosophy within me. I believed in it even before I started my training. I had this idea on how you are to treat the child. Mm-hmm. And I had a strong sense of the dignity of the child. Mm-hmm. What the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd is, it offers a prepared environment for that fosters in the child this desire to be united with God. And I realized that catechists that were not trained in Montessori would take it as their opportunity to give, mm-hmm, to the child instead of an opportunity to present a space for the child where the child can hear God's voice. Mm-hmm. That was the main difference. And the adults that I was taking the training with were already very much self-centered and they're seeking God in their... How do I put this in the correct words? My approach was, what can I do to foster this union of the child with God with my actions? Their approach was, what do I have to do, mm-hmm, to give this and this and this to the child?
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. I think that's one of the biggest struggles for those of us who are not Montessori trained. when we enter into the atrium is to not feel that we are the giver ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and to remove ourselves from that equation. And that is so key in the whole catechesis philosophy and the heart of what it is that the Holy Spirit is that guide and the materials and the child and God. And it's our job just to create an environment and facilitate that. But that's a whole different way of thinking that you as a Montessorian were trained already in. And those of us who have not been trained, it's like a whole other language that we haven't been mm-hmm. exposed to. And it's a huge shift, especially for those of us who have been in any kind of formal education setting where it is our job
mm-hmm.
to impart knowledge onto the children, to remove that.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is that all the stress that the catechist is having of presenting the best teaching opportunity or whatever, learning opportunity for the child, it's removed once you realize this is not about me. This is about me fostering something beautiful that can grow and happen spontaneously. All I need to do is be as quiet as I could, say the least amount of words, present the exercise, and allow the child to listen to God and for God to work, the Holy Spirit to come. And if we do that, if you are quiet and remove yourself from the equation, amazing things happen. And that's what Sofia Cavalletti would describe in her books.
Yeah. Learning how to trust that process
mm-hmm.
and removing ourselves. We could do a whole podcast just on that. Probably a series because that's so huge and I think a huge complication for many, many catechists. There's another Montessori concept, though, that I think is very foreign to those of us who are not trained in Montessori, that the idea of normalization. Would you speak into that and tell me what is normalization?
Well, normalization comes from the root of it is normal. And so when we hear that word, and that's where the confusion may happen, we think of either two things, conforming, that you have to conform the child to a certain thing, or that's something that is not normal to turn it into something normal. And that is not the way Maria Montessori talked about normalization. She put this term normalization into something that she observed that was happening within children. When you prepared a certain environment for the child, when you allow the child to have freedom to work on the things that the child is drawn to, when you foster independence and the repetition of the exercise, then something happens within the child that brings peace to the child. And when the child has found peace in his work, you can say that that child has been normalized.
And what does that look like? A child who is found normalization?
Well, usually our approach, like our idea of work, when you hear the word work, you go like, oh, no, I have to do this. When the child learns to love what the child is doing, when the child is able to concentrate on this work and repeat it and be joyful, joy and peace, which are fruits of the Spirit, are the ones that you recognize in the child. And then what follows is kindness, and peace and gentleness and joy, desire to work. That's what a normalized child looks like. A child filled with the Holy Spirit is a normalized child.
Is that, does it look the same for each child?
No, each child is different. There are children who are not normalized would get exhausted with this kind of work, like, because the Spirit is not engaged within it.
Mm-hmm.
But once the child learns to engage and there's this joy, this, it feels great to do it. Like, have you ever felt it when you do a great job? You just feel like joyful and peaceful. It's mm-hmm. like, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
I did it. And children do it too. And some do it quietly and some do it more. It depends on their personalities. But what is true in all of them is the peace and the joy.
When the child has found that.
Mm-hmm. And the desire to find it again.
And they would find that within the work.
Within the work.
Mm-hmm.
within the work. It's not within the people or within the interactions. It's within the child and the work. Fruitful work.
Is there anything for us as catechists or Montessori teachers or even parents to help foster that moment, those moments of normalization within the children?
Well, when you start working with children, one of the things that you're seeking for or trying to work harder at accomplishing is concentration. Mm-hmm. A child who is able to stay within a certain activity for a long period of time without the adult commanding the child to do it, mm-hmm. not out of obedience, but out of self-discipline. The child wants to do it. Child wants to repeat it. So one thing that we need to do is to take care of the environment and their surroundings so this child is not interrupted. Mm-hmm. Because a child that is learning how to concentrate, if another child comes and interrupts, the child loses it. Mm-hmm. If the child is starting to concentrate and I decide, ooh, you could also do this, and I go and invite the child into a new activity, mm-hmm. I disrupt the process.
Or the possible state of mm-hmm. normalization. So like visitors coming to the classroom or the atrium
absolutely.
Could obstruct that. Or
absolutely.
What about like music in the background?
If it is soft music, it may help the children get into the rhythm. Mm-hmm. But sometimes music is an impediment.
Or what if a child, like a work that is not completely set up for the child, like maybe it's missing the Q-tips they need or the cotton balls or a piece of the work and they have to find you to get it or get it themselves. Could that obstruct that state?
It could in a child that is starting mm-hmm. to learn how to concentrate. With a child that is already normalized, the process is just extended and part of the work becomes going to get her own
So a child
materials.
who is used to being normalized, who has been normalized more often, it's easier for them to have those interruptions or be able to get quickly back into mm-hmm. it after the interruption. Yeah.
They will see it as part of the process more than a hindrance to the process. Mm-hmm. A very young child will completely lose interest.
Yeah. And I imagine like time is also pretty important to normalization. So having enough time in the atrium or in the classroom in order to fall into that state. So if you have a very short time or you have 30 minutes or... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, longer. Definitely. In the Montessori classroom, we have a 3-hour work period, uninterrupted work period. In the atrium, usually they give us, if it's a Sunday school, they give us 1 hour. Mm-hmm. In the atrium where I worked before, it was 1.5 hours. Mm-hmm. And it's never enough.
Yeah.
It really isn't enough. Now, if the atrium is very small, then 1.5 hours becomes a lot. It's a long time to keep a child entertained or
engaged.
You mean
if it's not a complete atrium?
If it's not a complete atrium.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to have a large atrium with practical life. Mm-hmm.
At all levels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think this is why Sophia Cavalletti and Gianna Gobbi really pushed for 2-hour atrium times mm-hmm. at least.
Oh, absolutely.
I have a friend back in Texas who she had a homeschool group of moms who did Catechesis of the Good Shepherd together. And so they had a little bit more freedom and flexibility in their time. Very busy, but still just flexible. So they created a 3-hour slot for their homeschool kids. And I remember her telling me about the kids would hit like halfway, I guess, they'd hit like this lull of feeling bored. Mm-hmm. And they would just let them be bored and let them walk around the atrium and not mm-hmm. know what to do. But then it took a little bit of time and then they would find a work and they would sink into this deep concentration of normalization after they allowed them to hit that time mm-hmm. of boredom. And not interrupt the boredom, let them be bored.
Yeah. Maria Montessori called that false fatigue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a period of false fatigue. But if you allow the discomfort of going through that, allowing the child to solve his or her own needs, something amazing happened.
That's awesome. I think like our culture I think probably just our culture has taught us like if our kid's like, I'm bored, we're like, oh, well, look, here, do this puzzle. Or, oh, look, put on a movie. And But I've noticed in my own children, if I'm just like, okay, just be bored, and I just let them be bored, they usually find some really cool activity to do together and mm-hmm. create a cool fort or yeah. whatever. And they get pretty creative.
That is so true. We get uncomfortable without activity very easily, us as society. But
yeah,
it is something that we need to go through. We grow from struggle. Mm-hmm. The struggle of the being bored leads you to another activity that may be very creative, mm-hmm. may give you this opportunity to find joy. Mm-hmm.
I mean, man, I think our culture today, we can't even sit on the toilet without like grabbing our phone. Oh, like that's just...
Don't that, go there.
Maybe not
they
you.
They sell but... the toilet roll holders with... with a shelf for the phone.
Right. So we've just gotten so used to this constant stimulation in our mm-hmm. society. And so even as adults, we do not allow ourselves to hit those moments of boredom. Mm-hmm. Imagine if we did. Imagine our capacities of our minds and our hearts and our souls. If we did allow ourselves to just be not stimulated for a little while and mm-hmm. see where
it will force us to find meaningful work. Mm-hmm.
The even one within that, our adult lives.
That enlightens the spirit. Mm. So, yeah.
That sounds like a challenge for me. Do you have any stories or moments that you remember of a child who was difficult being normalized or what they look like being normalized? Or
It is a long process, this process of normalization. When the three-year-olds come to you, they don't even have the attention span to sit down and finish. Like right now, we're at the beginning of the school year. Everything is placed in a different shelf. Everything is chaotic. Work is left unattended, and children don't remember. It's a long process, mm-hmm. and it comes from repetition and patience, and not with scolding, but redirecting, mm-hmm. showing the child for the millionth time, this is where you put the work when you finish.
So that's what you mean by repetition. It's that constant
yeah,
repetition, reminder of the work process.
Well, it depends. And me as a guide is my own repetition of my own words, redirecting the children to do what they are meant to do. And the redirection comes more in the form of a question. Do you remember where you got this from? Mm-hmm. Is this the work that you were working with? That kind of... But for the child... Repetition is a different thing. For the child is, for example, I've been witnessing it in the classroom. A girl who's painting, and she's just learning the exercise of painting. So she starts, gets her paper, paints, puts it outside to dry the paint, and cleans the whole easel, the floor, everything, spotless, replenishes the materials, like gets a new paint, and everything is clean and ready. For another child to start the process, it's just like the other child is herself mm-hmm. and starts, gets her paper, mm-hmm. paints again, goes through the whole process 3-4 times in a day, 2 hours of work, uninterrupted mm-hmm. work, and on the same activity. That's repetition for that particular child. It all depends on who the child is. There are children that do not finish the work, and repetition could be, for example, with the cylinder blocks, which is a block with the sockets to insert cylinders. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the repetition is just that same cylinder going to that one particular hole. And it goes up and down and up and down and up and down. And maybe the child is practicing, perfecting the movement so it goes without touch. You never know what it is until you sit down, observe the child, and figure it out. What is this child really doing? What is this movement that seems could look like mistreating the material? You see a child going up and down, up and down, up and down. You wonder, what is this child doing? Move on. Do all the other 9 cylinders, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know? But that is repetition for that one particular child.
And that observing the child before you, like,
you have to always observe the child before you redirect. Mm-hmm. And especially in the atrium, you have to observe the child, because we have these beautiful materials like the Annunciation. And sometimes you think Mary is starting to fly, mm-hmm. and you do not know until you actually see Mary becoming Superman. You do not know. Mm-hmm. You have to observe the child, the movement of the hand, the engagement in the process. Mm-hmm. You know, you do not know what the child is thinking, and you are not to interrupt and ask. You are just to.
And am I correct in saying that, like, if a child who was making Mary fly, if they were doing it like fast with noises, mm-hmm. that's different.
That's different.
That
that's
would be more obvious mm-hmm. than if a child was maybe moving Mary slowly
yeah.
and calmly
yeah.
and more contemplatively, there might be something more deeper happening. Is that always the case, though, that those kind of physical things can be observed to know the difference between like contemplation and play?
It is, and it all depends on the background of the child. And because it could be that that child have heard about Mary ascending into heaven. Mm-hmm. You have no idea. Mm-hmm. You have to wait and see.
You don't know where their heart is at that moment.
You do not know. It yeah. all depends on the movement of the child and the peace that follows, or the destructiveness that happens. Mm-hmm. And it all depends. But not every child, not every time we redirect, the redirection was needed. Mm-hmm. And I've done it thousands of times where I go like, oh, I disrupted. I didn't know. And when the child is verbal, the child can tell you what they are doing, but you interrupted the process. Mm-hmm.
The thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are those moments of humility.
Like, oh, definitely.
So sorry, God. I'm not as great as I think I am.
No. And the thing is that it's never about us. It is never about us. It is about the process that the child is going through. But we tend to think we are bigger than big. Big lessons. Big lessons in life.
Humble us so bad. Gabriella, is there anything else that you would like to add about normalization or anything else before we finish?
Maybe just the invitation to ponder our own actions and when we are interacting with the child. Mm-hmm. What are our own intentions? Because sometimes it's more about us than it is about them. Mm-hmm. Like before starting work in the atrium, really a prayer of humility, maybe. Mm-hmm. I know it helps me. One thing I do daily in my classroom, I light up a candle to remind myself that what I'm about to do with children is my prayer, mm-hmm. my offering. It's not about me. It's about him and his children. And how can I help these children reach their full potential? Mm-hmm. That's what it all comes to at the end of the day. How can I help this child to become the men or women of God that they are meant to be, that God created them to be? And what do I need to do to redirect this child into wholeness in all the areas and aspects of his or her life? So the spiritual part is important, but all the other parts are also important. Mm-hmm. You know?
And that work is your prayer.
That work is my prayer.
But it takes you first checking yourself and your own state
yeah.
first.
You have to come to the atrium, to the classroom, with pure intentions. Where your intention is to help the child be the best child that they can be, who God created them to be, not who I want them to be. Or I have to remove my intentions. And I have to be patient, because sometimes it takes years. I am not to see it right away. And sometimes I don't even see it.
Yeah. I always say, so often we're in the business of planting seeds.
Mm-hmm.
We're not Absolutely. Necessarily the harvest. Very rarely do we get to see what happens with those seeds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Especially in early childhood.
Mm-hmm.
In level 2, you may be able to start seeing those the fruit starting to show. But primary, which is what I do, 3 to 6, rarely you see the fruit.
Just plant seeds. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Gabriella. I really appreciate you sharing your wisdom.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking time out to listen to our episode today. We are so glad that you have joined us. We would love for you to join us every other Wednesday, so please subscribe to our podcast. Tell your friends about the podcast and share it on social media, because we really want to get the word out that we have this new Catechesis of the Good Shepherd podcast. If you want to find us on Apple Podcast or iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, we are anywhere where you or your friends listen to podcasts. Please leave a comment or a rating, because that helps other people to be able to find us. Tell us what you think. We want to know what you're thinking about this new endeavor of ours. We want to know if you have any ideas of what would make a good episode. If you have questions that you want answered, let us know. Email us at cgs@cgsusa.org. Also, keep up with us on all of our social medias. We are on Facebook and Instagram, Twitter. We're even on YouTube. So please go find us. This podcast is sponsored by the United States Association of Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. So we want to say thank you to everyone who is a contributing member of the association, because it is you who are making this podcast possible. Thank you. If you want to know more about Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, or if you want to become a member, please go to cgsusa.org. Thank you so much for joining us today. We will see you in 2 weeks. Go and fall more deeply in love with God.